There's a series of messages that I preach from this verse of Scripture. And it's one verse of Scripture here in Ephesians chapter 1. I'd like for you to look with me at this Scripture tonight. And I thought about what a blessing. What a blessing it is. I mentioned this morning to have been born. You know, the natural birth. What a blessing. By the grace of God, providence of God, I wouldn't miss it for anything. You know, would you? Now, you think about it. You think about all the heartaches and the troubles and trials and tribulations. But think about all the joy and all the blessings and things just think about who you are. In other words, who God made you to be. And just think about that and what a blessing it is. And I'm so glad that he made me to be a man. And I'm so glad that he made you all that are women to be women. You know, and I think you're real happy about that too. And I'm just thinking about some of the blessings. But then these are all blessings that come upon all people. But then the greatest blessings of all are the blessings I'm going to talk about in verse 3 here of Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 3, Paul writing here to the church at Ephesus says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, I've got a whole file of sermons that are listed like this. God's mercy, God's love, God's judgment, God's wrath, God's gift, God's people. But this, from this verse, is titled God's Spiritual Blessings. God's Spiritual Blessings. One time, several years ago, I had a preacher up in all the way up towards Chicago wanted me to come up and wanted me to preach a series of messages on, you know, God's love and God's mercy and God's grace and God's wrath, and so I got I got into being led of the Lord to build sermons, and so I've built 40 or 50 sermons that deals with these subjects, and this is number 35 number 2. There's 35 number, and some of them that I've got is 35, 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, 4. So really I got more than 50, because some of them is a whole series of them. And I thought one of the greatest truths and one of the great truths of the Word of God and is the spiritual blessings that God has provided for us and that God has so graciously given us. Now, praise, I believe, is given to God for all blessings. All blessings. We praise Him for temporal blessings. You know, I'm thankful to God for the temporal blessings, aren't you? I thought about how privileged we are, where we live, the freedom that we have, the things that God has so graciously given us that other people in other nations and countries don't have, never will have, never will even come close to having what God has so graciously blessed us with here, that is, in temporal things and temporal blessings. Why, it just is beyond me sometimes to think about. I drive down the highway, you know, going to meetings and come back and things, and I drive down the highway and I look and I see, you know what I see? I see houses. I see land. I see houses. I see horses and I see cattle and I see sheep and I see coal mines. I see cotton fields. I see corn fields. I see fields of soybeans. I see fields of tobacco. I see fields of everything that you could imagine that we grow here in this fields of rice and many great things. And all of these are the temporal things that God has so greatly blessed this nation with, and how privileged we are and how thankful that we ought to be. And I think, now I wonder what they're doing over there. They're doing the same thing that we're doing. They're going to bed at night, getting up the next morning, going to work. I mean, some of them. Now, not everybody. Some, you know, is living off of us. But and I'm talking about as a general rule that God has so blessed us and given us all these things, and how thankful we ought to be. But I believe that these are given in time, and they're given for time only. All of these things are going to come to an end. One day everything that God has so graciously given me that I need, I'm going to die, and then that's the end of that. It's not going to be mine any longer. I thought about, we have a camcorder, and I was just making a thing, and I was talking about up at Ben Joe's home place, and I just was, you know, I was doing a little talking along with it, you know, and talking about, you know, this farm has been in the family a long time. My wife's parents, they got this farm from their parents, and her dad bought out the heirs, and that 110 acres, of course, became his when he bought it out. And then I thought, and I went on and I showed the house, and I said, here's the house my wife was born in, November the 11th, 1937. She is born right here. And then I began to talk about that so many of the old people are gold. They're gold. And I thought about, there's the hills and the hollers, and there's the trees, and there's the grass they walked on. And all of these are temporal blessings that God gives. And the sun comes up every morning and goes down every night, and it rains on the just and the unjust. And these are the blessings that God gives us in this life. But what does all of this amount to if we don't have spiritual blessings? So we ought to there, and that's what temporal blessings are. They're just temporary. They're just for the time that God has given us, that we might sojourn here in this life. But I believe that we ought to be thankful for these, but we ought to praise Him for the spiritual blessings. Because spiritual blessings are not only given for time, but spiritual blessings are also given for eternity. And they'll never, never, never be gone. But they will always be ours. And the reason for this is because spiritual blessings, they are eternal. Amen. Now, in spiritual blessings, it includes the three persons of the Trinity. Spiritual blessings comes from God the Father, from God the Son, and from God the Holy Spirit. God designed for it to be so, and in the covenant of grace, there was an agreement between the three persons of the Godhead. A covenant or agreement just meant like, now I said, now Adrian, you turn on the lights and I'll unlock the door. Ronnie, you carry out the trash. I didn't mean for it exactly to come out that way, but you know, that's the way God does things, you know. And has people to be servants and various other things. And that's the way God designed it, and God ordered for it to be. And so I'm saying this just to illustrate, this is how that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, dealing with the people that God had was going to save, how that the office work of each one of them, and they just, as we'll say, sit there in eternity. You know, we know that they're spirit, but they sit there in eternity, and they agree. And so now this is what we're going to do. God said, this is what I'm going to do. And Son, this is what you're going to do. And Holy Spirit, this is what you're going to do. And they all coveted together or agreed. And so every one of them did exactly as they said, or as they agreed in that covenant. And so they agreed concerning the spiritual blessings for us. And in eternity, they were laid up for us. And then when God brings around the great salvation, to us that I preached on this morning, which is God's salvation, then all of these spiritual blessings have already been laid up for us in eternity. And they're laid up for us in time. So we have received these spiritual blessings from the Father. He chose us. He adopted us. He made us accepted in the Beloved. But we have received some spiritual blessings from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who I want to talk about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Now, these blessings from the Son, if you'll look here in Ephesians chapter 1, and notice with me in verse 7 down through verse 12, and here's what it says. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, and then it says, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now I want us to think from this passage of Scripture tonight, some spiritual blessings, some blessings that we have received from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God is the sovereign God of heaven, and God is the planner, and God is the designer of the salvation of his people, which includes all of these spiritual blessings. Our salvation, as I said this morning, of not only the saving of the soul, but saving of the life, our salvation includes these spiritual blessings that God laid up for us in eternity. We become, as far as we know, recipients of them in time. And then we know of receiving, of having these in time for eternity, is really what they are. And I thought about this. Now, first of all, the first blessing we'll find here in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The first spiritual blessing that we have received from God and from the Son is he has redeemed us. Now we know that the Bible teaches clearly that Christ is the author of redemption. He was called to be the redeemer of his people from all eternity. This was agreed upon by God the Father and God the Son. And then he was sent in the fullness to procure this redemption for his people. And I tell you what a blessing it is. By imputation, that is just charging to us or giving to us. You know, we see imputation as the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's charged to our account. It's not our righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness which given to us. And so by imputation, he was made redemption to all of the chosen ones who shares in this redemption. Who are these? Well, it's not angels. Christ didn't come to redeem angels. Christ didn't come to die for angels, but Christ came to die for men. And how thankful that I am. And then even in that, we'll have to say scripturally, not all men, but the elect among the all men. Now these elect men are these that are chosen in Christ and are predestinated, as we read, to the adoption of children by him, and they are accepted in the Beloved. These are the ones. Brethren, that was number one. What God, the spiritual blessings that God has so graciously given us. And so these blessings, though, come through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For listen to what he says here in this verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no what? You're going to see on down here in this. There is no redemption. And so we find here that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was a sufficient redemption price. There must be a price that was paid for our salvation. And it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was paid there at Calvary for our redemption and for our sin. And so redemption supposes then captivity and slavery, and then it supposes a deliverance out of it. Being redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's chosen ones by nature are in bondage to sin, and they're in bondage to Satan, and they're in bondage to the law. But through the grace of Christ, we're redeemed from all of these and from all iniquity. No wonder some can sing joyfully, "I have been what? Redeemed." How have we been redeemed? Through the blood. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been ransomed out of the hands of the strong one, out of the hands of Satan. We have been freed from the law. We've been freed from its bondage. We've been freed from its curse. We have been freed from its condemnation. That's what redemption is. Paul, when he wrote to the churches of Galatia, said in Galatians 3:3, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." How? Being made a curse for us. And that's what he actually did there at the cross of Calvary. So one of the spiritual blessings that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us is we have redemption through his blood. But then there's another spiritual blessing. You ever have anybody ever say, "Will you forgive me?" And you say, "I got to think about it." Or you say, "I might." Or you say, "Yeah, I think I will. You know, I think I will." Y'all know the expression? Well, that's not the way it is with this spiritual blessing that Christ has given us. Now, we have redemption through his blood, which covers this in verse 7. Look here. The forgiveness of sins. Yes, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But one of the greatest benefits of being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is the spiritual blessing of the forgiveness of sins. And you'll notice it says there, S-I-N-S. You see that? Sins. Now, what is he speaking of? All sins. All sins have been forgiven. Why, it wouldn't be much redemption, would it, to be partially forgiven? It wouldn't be much redemption at all. But you know, the redemption that we have through his blood is the forgiveness of sins. And what a blessing that is. Sin, how terrible, how blight, how awful. And we must acknowledge, and we have acknowledged by the grace of God, we have acknowledged that we were sinners. We have acknowledged by the grace of God that we are sinners. But we've also acknowledged by the grace of God that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. All of these sins have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Some talk about original, that's forgiven. Actual sins, past sins, present sins, future sins. This is what I always thought about. Bejo's granddad, I believe, was a saved man, but he just never had been taught the truth like some people haven't. And he just couldn't get it down, what I've just preached. And he'd go to church with us. And I know we'd put him in a car and up there we would take him to church. Down here we'd carry him. But you know, we'd take him to church with us. And down here we'd carry him to church. And so he'd go right along, the preacher get along, and then when the preacher came down to what I just preached here is that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and what that means is all sins. And he'd say, I've heard him say it so many times, said, he did real good and messed it all up right to last. You know, because he'd never been taught that Christ died for all of our sins. He didn't just pay for part of our sins. Because and there is no if to this, but if there was a possibility he paid for our part of our sins, who's going to pay for the rest of them? By one sacrifice, one offering for sin, he has sanctified and perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering of sin. That's the past sin, that's present sin, and that's sins yet that we haven't even committed. Where are they? They're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're literally sent away. That's a spiritual blessing. Now, you can't get that kind of a blessing here in this life. I mean, as far as in temporal land. Look, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 with me. Take time in your Bibles and go over here and look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Look at it. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, that is, the penalty of the sins, brother, it's paid. That penalty is paid in full. It was paid there at Calvary, paid in full. And it says, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now I believe, and I know the Bible teaches, that Calvary was a fulfillment of an Old Testament type. Go back to the book of Leviticus. I want you to turn back there with me. Go back there and to the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus, and let's look at this passage of scripture here in Leviticus chapter 16. And notice with me there, if you will, in Leviticus 16 and in verse 20 down through verse 22. Now notice this. When he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation, the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgression and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and he shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now that was representing an Old Testament type of that their sins were gone. Their sins were paid for. But they had to keep doing it. But Jesus only did it once. One time. For all of the sins that his people would ever commit. You know, I preached several Sundays ago, you know, in John chapter 17 and verse 1. And I don't believe that we really seriously think about what it really meant, what it really took for Jesus to become sin for us. I'm talking about all the sins of all of his people. And they were all put upon him. They were everyone put upon him there at Calvary. I think of how that even just for me, how my sins, the weight of my sins, that really he became my sins, and what it took for him just to die for me, but think about all of us, and then all of the people that God saves. And there he hang, there and became sin for us. And this is exactly what it said. Who bore our sins in his own body there on the tree. I don't believe that we think enough about what it really meant and what it really took. And now, because of this spiritual blessing that we have here in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the forgiveness of sins, our sins are gone. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Now this ought to make us happy. It ought to make us rejoice. It ought to make us praise God. Look in Hebrews chapter 10, and there in verse 2. Well, I'll read verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, Hebrews 10, 1, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. There's always a remembrance of sin. It was constant reminder. It was always there. Now look in verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But they had to be offered and offered and offered. Now look at verse, and you go on down through here, and you'll find, and what he says here in this, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But it's not the blood of bulls and goats that took away our sins. It's the spiritual blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we have read here is, it said, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Amen. It's his blood. And I tell you, people probably think I'm an ignoramus. We was singing in that conference up there, and we went along on that song, you know, we got in our book, and coming right down there, the songwriter got his blood spilt. And I sing it just as loud as I can. Shed! They probably think I'm a nut, you know. That's had WD-40 used on or something. But that's what it was. He shed his blood for our sins. That's why he died. His blood was the what can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, don't be so picky. You better be picky. We're talking about your sins. We're talking about your sins being washed away. We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for your sins. And so what we have here is, now what, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened to him? And you're going down through here. Well, let's look down here at verse 10. I better get all this. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. One time. And of course, it goes on and talks about the old way was just a type. It just pictured, or it just showed the blood. But then look then what happened in verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, brethren, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account as to whether to receive rewards or not receive rewards, but the penalty of our sins is not going to be mentioned. It is not going to be brought up. It is not, because their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They are gone. So the forgiveness of sins is a spiritual blessing of redemption, and it is according to the riches of his grace. We didn't deserve such treatment. We didn't deserve such a spiritual blessing. But thank God, the God of grace found the ransom price, and that ransom price was his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as God gave himself. And so our sins have been paid for. So redemption and pardon are free. And our sins are forgiven freely for Christ's sake. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us there at Calvary. So, the spiritual blessing we have from the Son, we have redemption through his blood, and then we have the forgiveness of sins. Now, all of this was in verse 7, according to the riches of his grace. No wonder many songwriters wrote, and I think of this often, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor." And it says, "Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." And talking about the grace of God. And so then we have these spiritual blessings of redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, can we ask for more? There is more. There's more. You think, well, you say, well, that's a whole lot. That is a lot. Without it, you'll never see God as far as being in his presence. Without it, you'll now the second death, which is an eternal separation from Almighty God and all the things. But God has provided these spiritual blessings for us. But then, not only has he done this, but there's another spiritual blessing. It's verse 8 through verse 10. "Wherein he hath abounded toward us," Ephesians 1, 8, "wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." So not only have we received the spiritual blessings of redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin, but we have also received the spiritual blessing that he has revealed God's will to us. Grace caused him to abound toward us. Because if you'll notice in the end of verse 7, according to the riches of his grace, it says, "wherein." According to the riches of his grace, "wherein he hath abounded toward us." So it is grace that caused him to abound toward us. You know, I heard this preacher this afternoon, and I don't mean this in the wrong manner or way. When I talk about other preachers on the radio thing, I'm not doing it. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, but I'm just, I do know that I'm saying this. He kept talking about, you know, "I'm just a little old ignorant." You don't have to tell people you're ignorant. You open your mouth and they'll know it. You know, all of us. I mean, every one of us. You know, I thought about, don't ever apologize for what you are, what God's made you to be. You know, I am what I am by the grace of God. And you are too. Don't belittle what God's made you. That's one of the things about Brother Bud Simmons that I wish he could get over. He said, "Now I can't preach like Brother Harvey. It don't matter whether he does or not. God didn't call him to preach like me. God called him to preach like he wants him to preach. And see, I can't be you, you can't be me." But I thought, well, praise God for what we are. And for what God has done for us and God's given. And so that's what I would have liked to have been able to express to that preacher this afternoon. Now, there's nothing wrong with that thought. I mean, you know, what the preacher was talking about. But I thought about, you know, all of us here tonight, we have the spiritual blessing of redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And we're all on equal footing. And we're all equal footing on this here. He hath revealed God's will to us. And you'll see here in this verse, it's grace that causes you. By nature, we are foolish and we're unwise. In conversion, God makes us men to know wisdom. To know the wisdom of God. He gives us spiritual understanding. For go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you know, I don't do this, and when I say these things, I don't want in any way people to think I'm boastful or anything, and somebody said to me one time, said, how can you get up before hundreds of people and all these people and just act like they're not there and just preach? And I said, because God enables me to. Whether it's 3 or it's 300, it's the same preaching. It's the same message. It's the same thing. It's not no different. It's the same thing. And here's what it is. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 14. But the natural man, and the idea is void, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But what happens when God saves a person? He gives them spiritual understanding. The Holy Spirit enables them then to study the Word of God. And so what he makes known, or what Jesus Christ reveals to us, is God's will. And he made known unto us the mystery of his will. And brethren, there's a lot of mysteries about this book. One, the very first beginning, if you're going down a whole list, and if I was going to ordain you tonight, the very first thing I'd start with is for you to tell me about the God of heaven. Now, the God of heaven to the world is a mystery. But God has revealed unto us the mystery of God. We know that God is the sovereign ruler, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he sustained and upholds all things by the word of his power. We know that God does according to the pleasure of his good will. Now, you all, God's revealed to you a mystery. You ever thought about this? The mystery even of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Think about all you know about the Lord Jesus Christ that God's revealed to you. The mystery of the gospel. Some people don't know what the gospel is. They don't know the God of heaven. They don't know the Christ of God. They don't know the Christ of the gospel. And then the mystery of all the doctrines, the Trinity, the persons in the Godhead, the two natures in Christ. We talk about his deity and his humanity. That's foreign language to the world. But the only reason it's not to you is because God by his grace has revealed it to you. And this is a spiritual blessing. And then the work, just the work of the Holy Spirit. Think of what the Word of God teaches. And the Word of God has to say, brother, the calling of both the Jews and the Gentiles, the resurrection of the dead, the physical and the spiritual, and then the translation of believers, and then the will of God. His will of saving sinners in Christ. And also declaring that he does all in salvation. Now look at this. These are spiritual blessings. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I can't hardly help, but I'm in the second chapter there. Second, I can't hardly help to go back to that first chapter and where it talks about the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. To the world, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that perish, but unto us it's the power of God unto salvation. And you go on and you read, who did God choose? God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. And so, see, we have received redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and he hath abounded toward us. By grace he hath abounded toward us, revealing to us the will of God and knowing the things of God. And how thankful that we ought to be that he does all according, that God does all according to his sovereign will and his pleasure. He chooses, he redeems, he justifies, he pardons, and he calls whom he pleases. And he does it every bit for this one thing. Look here, verse 8, 9, and 10. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now notice, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. And you read here and you'll see what's according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, I've always tried to tell you this, and I don't know We've ever heard it anywhere else, but I've always tried to tell you, the moving cause, when God, the moving cause is in himself. Anything that God does, the cause of it is in himself. It's not because of you, it's not because of me, it's not because of somebody else, it's not because of circumstances, but the cause is in him. Now look, here it is, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, now here's the summation of all this, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, and it says, even in him. That is at the appointed time. This supposes that all things were united together in one. Angels and men were united to God by creation. They were under the same law of nature. This union was in Christ. The disunion and scattering came because of sin. But then what he's done, he's saving, he's redeeming a people through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And of course, bringing the total sum of all the elect together. There'll be a new heaven and new earth. There'll be the gathering of the elect angels. There'll be the gathering of all the elect, the chosen. Chosen me. And then we see, right quickly, I'm not going to get all this done, but we see another spiritual blessing is verse 11 and 12. Now I hope you'll follow me in the Bible with this. Now notice. Now you think about it. Now here's what it is. Redeemed through his blood, our sins are forgiven. He's revealed unto us the mystery of his will. And all of that was purposed in him according to his good pleasure. And then to give us all of that, and then it comes down to this. In verse 11 and 12. In whom, that is in Christ. Now notice. In whom in Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. Now this caps it all off. It says, being predetermined, that's what that word means, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Not only did he determine to save us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and to forgive all of our sin, but also to reveal the mystery of his will to us, all the doctrines of God's word and all the truths, but then in him also giving us an inheritance. Why? Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ. Now we have obtained an inheritance in the person of Christ, and this inheritance is incorruptible, and this inheritance is eternal. The Apostle Peter said, it is reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And the reason that we have this inheritance is because that we have his righteousness, and his righteousness being imputed to us entitles us to this inheritance. And without his righteousness, he wouldn't have this inheritance. His grace gives us a meetness for the inheritance. This inheritance is not obtained by our works. It is by the sovereign disposal of God. We are predestinated or predetermined to this inheritance. That's what he says. This has already been predestinated. As a matter of fact, everybody, this has been predestinated. You go back and you know, people are scared to death. But people should never be afraid or scared, afraid of these words. The whole thing is they just don't understand who God is. You know who God is? God's God. God's God. And so, if you understand who God is, it's not hard to understand this. Now you think with me. It's just a simple, great truth. Now predestination is not only to sonship, but it's to an inheritance. It not only secures the grace of adoption, but prepares and provides a heavenly portion. That's what he's saying. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, and that being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So the act of predestination proceeds according to a purpose. And that's according to the purpose of God. God purposed it. This purpose can never be done away with or frustrated. Now, it's laid out. I mean, it's laid out. And that's exactly the way it's going to be. And the guarantee of this is God's pleasure, God's will, and God's purpose, and God's plan. We even call it sometimes God's design, because God works all things after the counsel of His own will. We've read it. So God is the author of all of these things that we're speaking of or talking about here. He's the author of the works of creation, the providence of grace and salvation. He works all things according to His will and as it pleases Him. I kept thinking about what Brother Hall said when he said, "Why does He save us?" And I kept wanting to tell him, because it pleased Him. But I wanted to tell him. I mean, what he said was okay. It was okay. And don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing Brother Hall. What he said was okay. But the whole thing, everything God did, He did it because it pleased Him. It pleased Him to do so. And that's why I'm saved tonight, because it pleased God to save me. And that's why that you're saved tonight. It pleased God to save you. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working, and His counsel always stands, and He does all His pleasure, all of it, what He pleased to do, what He planned to do and pleased to do, He does it. That's why that there will not be one lost. And that's why there's a surety of that inheritance. It's guaranteed. It's a guarantee. It's a powerful guarantee.